Yep, I want to talk about the spirit of fear first. And, you know, as we all know, when we first became Christians, we all entered into a war zone. Would you agree? It was a war zone. And it's known as a spiritual warfare. So we must always remember that greater is he than he that is in the world. And that's in 1 John 4, verse 4. And as I go through these points, this message, I'm just going to back up what I'm saying by scripture, which is always a good thing to do. And I believe fear is the main weapon that the devil uses to manipulate, control, silence, and discourage us. I really do. And he does these things to keep people in bondage. Jesus said he came to set the captive free. Luke 4, verse 18. And I believe that. I really do. And if the devil can, he will bring you back into captivity. Listen very carefully. He will bring you back into captivity again through fear. Are you with me? All right? The Bible says that we have not received the spirit of fear again to bondage. That's in Romans 8, verse 15. So my encouragement to you is to not let the enemy back in their door again, in the back door. Don't let him put that fear on you, because if you act in fear, you're acting from him. You're acting on his behalf. Are you with me? All right? So don't let the devil put that fear on you. And as a very new Christian, I became self-employed, and I did a little bit of painting for this particular lady. I'm not going to mention any names. And I shared the gospel with her at the end of my job. And I got a phone call from her friend about a day later, and she rang me. She said, if you ever share the gospel again with my friend, she said, I'm going to come around and blow your head off. That's what she said to me. And I laughed at that. See, I didn't let that fear come in to my heart, because it's a tactic of the enemy. He tried to shut me down. But you don't do that to me, because I'm such a determined person. I tell you what, I hate being controlled and manipulated by the enemy himself, okay? So I had to make a choice that day, either retreat or march on. And I chose to march on with my commander-in-chief, Jesus. Amen? All right. The words fear, you probably all know this, the words fear is the most repeated command in the Bible. It's in there 365 times. And many have said, once every day. Okay? It says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So my question to you is, who puts that fear on you in the first place? It's not from God, is it? If he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, where does the fear come from? It comes from the enemy. Okay? Oh, I'm so passionate about this, I tell you what. And God said to me last Sunday morning as I was laying in bed, woke up and he said, very profound, he said, if you are not living by faith, he said, you are living in fear. And my mind went back to the time when I was a non-Christian. And I thought, man, I was living in fear. I was living in fear. I was captive to the enemy. But I've been set free of that now. And as a non-Christian, I was living in fear because I had no faith in God. Does that make sense? I had no faith in God. I was living for the enemy. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. Never, ever be ignorant of his schemes. We are called to be free of fear, I believe. And one man said this. He said that fear is meditating on the lies of the enemy. How profound. Fear is meditating on the lies of the enemy. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. And Jesus said there's no truth in him. No truth in him whatsoever. That's in John 8, verse 44. And as a very new Christian, I asked the Lord one day, I was coming out of my bedroom, I said, Lord, I believe that God impressed it upon my heart in the first place. I said, Lord, give me a psalm that I can meditate on, that I can think about. And probably within half a second, he said, Psalm 27. And I thought, Psalm 27, I haven't read that one. Just let me quote a third of it. I pretty much live by this psalm. I love this psalm. This psalm came from David, as you know, King David. And it goes as follows, the start of it. He said, for the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. And though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. That's just a third of it. Isn't that powerful? That's beautiful, man. Never forgotten it. The devil hates evangelism, and he uses fear to stop Christians from sharing the gospel or from sharing their faith. Too many Christians, though, I believe, have fallen victim to the spirit of fear. Like I said, I'm not judging anybody. Remember, it's a bondage, and God in his love and mercy wants us to be free from that fear. And many Christians, I believe, won't share the gospel or their faith because they fear rejection. There can be a number of reasons why. Many people think, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I might get beaten up. It's not my responsibility. They may not want to listen to me. They may ask me a question I can't answer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? There can be many reasons why, like I said. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. I want to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And there have been many times during our crosswalk through New Zealand where I could have taken offense very easily by the nasty looks, the rude and blasphemous comments that were yelled out, but I chose not to be offended. And Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. I do a lot of praying on the road when I'm with the cross. I do a lot of praying. I love it. When people say nasty things, I think, there's another one. I'll pray for them. You know what I mean? That's what Jesus said, pray for them. So you do. You pray for them. Pray that God will open up their eyes to the truth and set these people free. So don't become offended when you're sharing your faith, if you do, because it can often lead to unforgiveness. And it's not a good place for any Christian to be. Remember, don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And the enemy, I believe, will use any means he can to shut you and I down from sharing the gospel. Anything he can to render us useless for the kingdom of God. Don't let him. Know your authority in Christ. And I hadn't been married to Joan for very long, and I was laying in my bed one morning, and the Lord said to me, he said, do you know who you are in Christ? And I lay there and I thought, oh, sort of, but not completely. I talked to Joan about it. She said it's in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And I read those very, very thoroughly. And I kept on reading them. I thought, wow, that's where your authority is. That's who you are in Christ. Believe God's word. Believe God's word. Act upon his word. And you, so, like I said, you know, you can know your authority. Read the psalm. Read Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. The devil fights dirty. And Jesus said the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You all know that. John 10, verse 10. And I remember, it might have been 3 or 4 years ago, I was by myself and I was at home and I just finished making a sandwich and Luke, Sam, and Joan were out somewhere. They were coming home. And all of a sudden, I cast my mind back to the previous day where I'd had a great time on the streets and I'd been sharing with someone. I think someone might have got saved. I'm not too sure. And that's when the enemy usually attacks, straight after something like that. And anyway, all of a sudden, my whole body was just racked with pain. And it was pain like I'd never felt before in my whole life. And I tell you what, I just wanted to collapse on the floor. From the top of my head to the toes of my feet, every part of my body was in pain, just stabbing pain. And I thought, man, what's going on? And I thought to myself, I'm not going to go down. I'm going to stand on my feet. I'm going to stand. I knew it was an attack of the enemy. Joan and him came home, and I was sort of doubled over, and I went over to the fireplace, and I was starting to straighten up, and the Lord said one word to me. I'll bring it up later on. He said, stand. That's all he said to me, stand. And I said, yes, sir. And I straightened up, and I said, I'm standing. And I'm not going to go down. I refuse to go down. And I stood. I tell you what, man. The enemy's out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the beautiful thing about it was, within seconds, I had no pain. Because I resisted that pain. I resisted that attack. I wasn't going to listen to that lie. I believe if we can put up on the screen Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like us to read it. If we go, that's all right. Okay, verse 11. I'll get us to read 11, 12, 13, and 14. Okay, here we go. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Four times the word stand is in there. Isn't that amazing? It's there for a reason. Stand, and stand strong. I believe we should be a people of resilience. And basically the word resilience in this form means the capacity to withstand things that come against us. The capacity to withstand those things that come against us. That's resilience. And I believe we should be a people of resilience. So ask God to overcome that fear in your life that is stopping you from moving forward. Remember that it is the fear of man. Jamie mentioned it, that it is the fear of man that brings a snare. Think about that. It's the fear of man that brings... We should be God-fearers, man. We should be real solid God-fearers and not worry about what man thinks. And I don't say that in a rude sense. Fear God. Fear God. Proverbs 29, verse 25. When we truly fear God and reverence Him for who He really is, the fear of man, I believe, will dramatically decline in our lives. So don't let fear dictate or control your life when it comes to sharing your faith. Get on the offensive, not the defensive. Get on the offensive and give the enemy an uppercut with the word of God. Don't, no, I'm serious, man. Just, you know what I mean? Sorry, it's the old boxing days coming through, you know what I mean? Give him a smack on the chops with the word of God. Jesus did it, didn't he? In the wilderness, three times. Every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. I'm sorry. It's just a bit of passion coming out, you know what I mean? Just want to talk about evangelism. Okay, evangelism means the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witnessing. And for me personally, there is nothing more exciting than having an opportunity to share the gospel with an unsaved person. Man, I tell you what, that gets me stirred up. I love it. I love it. Oh, it's so satisfying. Nothing brings more satisfaction to my soul than sharing the gospel with someone else. We need to believe the word of God, and I keep on going back to it. Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Where's Adrian? There you go. We've discussed that over lunch many times with him and Irene. It's beautiful. We love Smith Wigglesworth, man of faith. So I just want to encourage those of you that are struggling in this area. I really am. I just want to encourage you to say that you can do this. You can do it. If God says we can do it, we can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who... There you go. We've got to believe that. Be on the offensive. Don't be on that... Yeah. So it's a case of trusting in the Lord. And if we could have up on the screen... Sorry, I just lost it here. Okay, so it's a case of trusting the Lord and stepping out in faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, Romans 1 verse 17. Okay. If we can't get it, I can just read it out anyway, so it's all good. There you go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I believe, that here's the key there, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Oh, I love that. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture there. So trust that God will give you the right things to say for those situations that arise. And I'm talking about witnessing to someone who doesn't know the Lord. You just got to trust that God will give you the right words to say for that given situation at that given time. You know what I mean? And God knows your heart. He knows what you need to say. He knows what that person needs to hear. He does. And I tell you what, when you step out in faith to witness to someone else, man, oh God, I love this. You will always, I can't emphasize it enough, you will always see God go before you. Every time a coconut, as they say. Every time, you will always see him go before you. And I tell you what, when you see him go before you, this just encourages you and encourages me to do more of it. Don't let that fear back in the door. Remember, don't let the fear back in the door. Okay. And yes, you will get ridiculed. You'll get rejected along the way. I've had lots of that. But I've got a thick hide. It's very thick. The water runs over just nicely. You know what I mean? Yep. Don't get offended. You'll always see God go before you. And you, like I said, you will get ridiculed. You'll get rejected. But you'll also get to speak to many, many people as well, won't you? If you don't do it, where will you get the experience? With experience, you get confidence, don't you? Does that make sense? Very, very rewarding. Your testimony, well, the Bible says, it's a very powerful thing. Share your testimony when you're sharing your faith. And let God speak through you. You can use it to witness to people. Revelation 12, verse 11. And through that, you'll see God get all the glory. And that's what it's all about. It's all about him getting all the glory. And many people have said to me, oh, bro, I don't have your testimony. I didn't live the way you did. That doesn't matter. You still have a testimony, whether you're raised in a Christian home or not. You still have a testimony of what God's done in your life, what he can do in other people's lives. Always use your testimony. And as I've said for many, many years, you can never talk to too many people about Jesus. Man, they are everywhere. They're everywhere. Everywhere you look. If you can turn your head around 360, they're there. Okay? Every day you and I walk past, or every week we walk past, we drive past, we look past thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who don't know the truth. They haven't been set free. They have no hope. And I remember, I'm just going to share a few stories as we go through this. I remember very clearly, and so does Jane, when God called us over to Australia. And we had to walk across these train tracks and looked over down the road to the train station itself and saw this street guy sitting on the seat. I don't believe he's waiting for a train. I said, come on, babe. I said, we're going to have a talk with this guy. And he was sitting there. He just looked out of it. And we conversed with this guy. I'll tell you one of the saddest stories I've ever heard, eh, honey? You know what I mean? This guy, he used to be a pastor. He told us he used to be a pastor. He said, but he did something that he didn't believe he could be set free from. He didn't think that God was going to forgive him for what he'd done as a pastor. And he just went backwards. The enemy got a hold of him. He just went backwards. Went away from the faith. Went away from the Lord. And here he was, you know what I mean? And he was sharing the story. And I started weeping. And Joan started weeping. And tears were just trickling down his cheeks. And, oh, man. It didn't matter what we said to him. He just didn't want to receive the report. You know what I mean? He didn't want to listen to us. And I just walked away. We prayed for him. Walked away from him. And I prayed for that guy for years. And I prayed for him again the other day because God brought him back to my mind. Oh, man, I tell you what. There's so many people out there who are in bondage. You know what I mean? Ask God to give you a heart for the lost. I did that. I remember going out to the... I'm just looking at the time. I remember as a very new Christian, I used to go out to the river and just walk up and down the road where there's no houses in the direct area. And I just said, God, use me. I just want to be used. Use me. God heard that prayer and he uses me. He wants to use us all for his glory. He really does. Ask God to give you a heart for the lost. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that if you do that, God will. He will give you a heart for the lost. because he knows us all so well. God loves people. We know that. We know that. That's why we're here. And I believe that the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, had a heart for the lost. Okay, if we could have Ephesians 6, please. And verse 19. All right, then I'll read it out. It's in here anyway. In verse 19, Paul says that for me, and here you've got to remember that here he was in between chained up in between two Roman soldiers, correct? That's where you get the armor of God from. He had lots of time to study these two guys and saw, and he studied what they had on. What those soldiers wore, that's where you get your armor of God from. So here he was, chained in between these two guys, I believe this. And he said, pray for me. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, there's that word boldly again, to make known the mystery of the gospel. What an amazing guy. He's one of my heroes. I tell you what, I hope he's in my scopes when I get to heaven because I'm going to shake his hand so vigorously. He's one of my heroes. I tell you what, he really is. Eh? I'm just being myself, I'm sorry. Okay, Paul was in prison. He was in prison. Okay, I remember we were going through Masterton on one of our crosswalks, and I looked across the road. It was a horrible day. I looked across the road, and I looked at this Catholic church, and it had a little wee sign, just on the outskirts of the church itself. You know what it said? Have a guess. It said, "Go. You are sent." And when I read that, I thought, wow, I was inspired by that. Go, you are sent. Oh, I love it. It says in Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed, are you redeemed this morning? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It means to save, to rescue, to justify, to repossess. I'm not talking about a car here. Repossess, to purchase, to buy out. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says that God is long-suffering. You know the scripture, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I just want to share a story about what was said to me in the hospital. At the end of one of our trips, my appendix burst, and I was... Joan just took over. She was great. She said, right, we're going to get an ambulance. And the ambulance came along, took me to hospital. And this is the New Plymouth, because we were about 50K north of there, into hospital, operated on, and started coming right. And I was just laying there, because I was starting to get frustrated after day three of laying on my back, because I'm so active, you know what I mean? I started getting all fidgety, and I said, Lord, I said, how do you, how? I said, I want to get up and start talking with some of these people, you know, especially the guys on my ward. And I was building that relationship with these guys, and that was great. We had a lot of laughs along the way. And this is what the Lord said to me, word for word. Listen very, very carefully. I'll tell you what. He said to me, he said, the world is like a hospital full of hurt and wounded people, now listen to this next part, who are drowning in a cesspool of sin. That's what he said to me. And I tell you what, I was shocked. I wasn't surprised. The world is like a hospital full. That means full capacity. Full of hurt and wounded people who are drowning, going down, drowning in a cesspool of sin. That's strong, isn't it? That's what he said to me. Never forgot it. And I remember Joan was sitting next to me one particular morning. This might have been a day before we left. And there was a guy who was opposite me. He was adjacent to me in one of the beds over there. And his name was Fred, 21-year-old. Built that relationship. We had a few laughs along the way. And anyway, this particular morning, a chaplain from the hospital came in. And she was just, you know, trying to talk with people. And our curtain was probably three-quarters drawn. But we saw her through the curtain. And she was about to shoot off. And we called her back. And Joan did most of the talking, and Joan said why we were, well, you know, what had happened and why we were here, and she talked about the crosswalk. It was amazing what God did, I tell you. I could share so many stories, but I haven't got time for that. But what God did in that ward was amazing that morning. And all of a sudden, I heard this guy, Fred, he yelled at me. He said, that's where? He said, that's where I saw you. He said, you're walking through New Plymouth with that cross. And I looked at Joan, and I went, because I was in the bed, I was up like this, you know. I said, get me down, babe, I want to have a talk with him. So I got down, and I hobbled over and pulled up a chair and plonked it at the end of his feet. I said, bro, what do you want to know? And that was that. Boom, in. And we started talking about the crosswalk, and we started talking about the Lord. I tell you what, God did an amazing thing that morning. It was just neat. It really was neat. And, but see, he was looking for the truth. He was looking for the truth. He had no hope. But, oh, man, God just wants to use us all so much. He really does. But we need to be available. We need to be available and say, here I am, Lord. That's what Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. He said, send me, use me. He wants to use us all so much. I'm sorry. All right, so and as we know, we do live in a world that is hurt and wounded, and it's going down. It's going down in a hurry. You and I have that hope. So when you walk out this door, or walk out those four doors there, you're walking right into a harvest field, aren't you? You're walking right into a harvest field. They're everywhere. People want what you and I have, and that's truth. They want truth. And I tell you, I've said it before, man, we're so blessed, we're still living in a country where we can still openly proclaim, share the gospel without being thrown into prison, muzzled, heads lobbed off, you know what I mean? We still live in a beautiful country. Make hay while the sun shines, because I don't know how much longer, but I believe that the need is slowly starting to come around. I believe it's starting to come around. We've got to get out there and share the gospel. And going back to truth here, we're going through Hawera. We'd be 10K out from Hawera, and a really, really cold, windy day. And I was walking up this hill, and I came around the bend, and I saw this young fella. He was 19. His name was Tim. And when he saw me, he started walking towards me. And so I crossed the road and went into the car park area where he was, and his girlfriend was sitting in the car. She wouldn't come out, and he said, I've been waiting here for 10 minutes for you to arrive. He said, I want to know. He said, what's all this about? What are you doing this for? I said, I'm glad you asked me. And I said, not a problem. And I tell you what, we had a talk for about half an hour. Young guy, 19, told me. Shared the gospel, and he was so open, so receptive. I said, Lord, just give me the right words to say for this young man, you know. And he did. And at the end, I prayed. I said, Tim, have you got any Christian friends? He said, oh, man, I've got lots and lots of Christians. I said, brother, I said, they have been praying for you. I said, it's not a coincidence you and I are speaking right now. I said, because God wants you to know the truth. He wants to set you free. And, they're everywhere. And I remember in 1999, at the end of 1999, I took a break from being a chippy, a carpenter, and God gave me a situation where, and it was through a dream that he gave Joan, and I got a job at the Bulls Freezing Works, just on the outskirts of Bulls. Many of you may know it. And I went berserk in that place. I'm not talking about it losing control. I had an absolute ball. I was a predator. I got a list of all the people's names, and there was about 76, and I got through about 57 of them. I used to study when their lunch break was, where they'd go after their, you know, I just, the whole scenario, I just knew it backwards. But I wanted to speak to the guys who were in the boiler room, and their morning start was 5 a.m. And I said, Lord, how do I get down there? How do I get down there and share with those guys? It was only a matter of time the Lord said to me The boss in the slaughter room walked up to me. Sean was his name, probably still is. And he said to me, he said, Kim, he said, sorry, he said, would you like to do a bit of overtime? Early morning start? I said, yeah, that'd be fantastic. And I thought, wow, what an answer to prayer, you know? So the next morning, I got up, and I got up a little bit earlier than usual. I knew where his office was. I walked in there, and I put a gospel tract on his desk. And I thought, I'll see what sort of reaction I'm going to get here, you know. It was good. He walked up to me in the afternoon. He said, Kim. He said, Kim, I want to have a talk with you. I said, yep, no worries, mate. So I went into his office. And he said to me, he said, are you responsible for putting that gospel tract on my desk? And I stood to attention. I said, yes, sir, that was me, guilty as charged. I said, no regrets. I said, now, you and I need to talk. And his mouth just dropped. I said, I want to have a talk with you about the Lord. He said, okay then. I said, I'll meet you outside at 4:30. He said, all right then. He didn't turn up that day because a bull escaped out of the paddock and he had to go and chase it and get it back into the pen where it came from. But I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow night. He said, no, that's fine. And I spent about 3/4 of an hour with him. He was puffing around his cigarette and I was sharing the gospel, you know. But, you know, God can answer those prayers. He really can. He does. He wants to. Like I said, we need to be available. And we become overcomers by continuously stepping out in faith in obedience to what God has asked us to do. Fear is something that we shouldn't be involved in. I don't believe that. Boldness is something that God gives us. Jamie prayed for that too. And I remember when I was with OEC Ministries back in 2001, I hadn't been there very long, and I was right on the verge of sleep, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, now listen to this very carefully. I might have shared this when I shared my testimony about three years ago. He said, picture this in your mind. He said, as a lighthouse warns the ships of danger ahead, so we should be a light to those who are in the darkness, to those who are perilously close to drowning, that they may be saved from the jaws of death and given new life. That's what he said to me, word for word. Didn't have to write it down, just remember it. You know, when he speaks to you that way, you remember it. Isn't that powerful? I'll say it again. As a lighthouse warns the ships of danger ahead, so we should be a light to those who are in the darkness, to those who are perilously close to drowning, that they may be saved from the jaws of death, that means hell, and given new life. Oh, I love it. Isn't that powerful? What an illustration, you know? One man said this. He said, if you continue to do nothing for the kingdom of God, he said, the devil will continue to rock you to sleep. Whoo! Eh? I don't want to fall asleep. And I don't want to be rocked to sleep by the devil either. Being proactive. So we should have a ministry that makes the people glad and the devil mad. I really do believe that. The people glad and the devil mad. And for me, I have never forgotten where I came from, what kind of a person I was, how he saved me and what he saved me from. That's resilience. Never forget that. This is the kind of thing that spurs me on as a person, as an individual anyway. And I believe that many believers, and like I said, I'm not judging anybody, many believers struggle to start a conversation with an unsaved person, let alone continuing the conversation on. But see, you get that from experience. With the experience, like I said, comes confidence, you know what I mean? And God will always go before you. And for me, a vital part of it is knowing the scriptures, knowing what the scriptures contain, knowing the gospels, you know, Ephesians, knowing who we are in Christ. And because many people ask us some really unusual questions, don't they? And quite often we don't have the answer. But let me put it this way. If you don't have the answer, just say, hey, listen, can I get back to you? Just leave it with me. I'll get back to you. And do your best to do what you said. So knowing the scriptures, reading the scriptures, meditating upon the scriptures, get them into your heart. So when you are asked, it's going to come out automatically. You know what I mean? Okay. And I remember, I think I might have shared this quite a while ago too. True story. I love using stories. I memorized a good story, and you can use it on the streets or wherever you are sharing with the unsaved. And I want to share the story again because I think it's so profound, so fantastic. True story of a man in America who was walking through a graveyard one day, and he used to enjoy reading the epitaphs on the gravestones. Well, this particular day, this one really grabbed his attention. And it goes as follows. So just unfold this in your mind. Okay, unfold this in your mind, as I said. I'm going to say it twice so you get it the second time. It goes as follows. It says, Pause now, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. So prepare for death and follow me. The man knelt down. He had a marker pen in his pocket. He wrote, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you..." See, most of you knew it, didn't you? I use that story so often on the streets. I tell you what, it gets your attention because it's talking about eternity, doesn't it? It's talking about eternity. It's powerful. Use stories if you can. I'm just giving you my stuff that I use. You know, we're all individuals here, but this is just how I do it. I'm just here to encourage you. Always remember that when you're witnessing to the unsaved, that they don't have the revelation that you and I have had. They don't know truth. They don't know what truth is. People are looking for the truth, but they don't know where to find it. So you need to be patient with them. Have good ears. You need to be a good listener. And listen to what they're saying to you. Don't get irritated with them. Don't get upset. Don't get defensive. Because you start doing that, you've lost them. The war goes up, you've lost them. Approach is very, very important for me. The way you approach the conversation or the way you approach a person is very, very important. Pray for them. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, it says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, part B, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There you go. See, God will always back you up. So let's finish with Romans 10 verse 13 to 16. I'm going to read it out to you, okay? Key for me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I use that scripture so often. And then it goes on, it says, how then can they call on a name on the one that they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful. I've got good feet. How beautiful the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. In Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So I just want to say that you can do it. We need to do it because these people need to know the truth. And God uses us. We are his hands and his feet and his hands. We are his hands and his feet. He wants us to use us. Like I said before, make yourself available. Know the scriptures. Ask God to give you a heart for the lost, and he will. I love evangelism. I love sharing the gospel. It's what God's put on my heart. And I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't do it. I'd get pretty frustrated pretty quickly, I'd say. But God loves people, and he wants all those people out there to know the truth so he can set them free. But most of them, as we know, if not all of them, they're all wrapped up in chains right now. And the devil has put a padlock on the end of the chain. But who has the key to the chain? Jesus. Only Jesus can unlock that chain in their hearts and set them free. Only Jesus can forgive them. Only Jesus can give them eternal life. And only Jesus can save them. Now, you may be here this morning. I don't know. You may not know the Lord. I don't know. But if this message has spoken to you in some way, if you don't know the Lord, and if this message has spoken to you in some way, then come and have a talk with me. Have a talk with Andrew. Have a talk to Jamie, Tasa. Don't be afraid to come forth, folks, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about eternity here. Because what we do with Jesus Christ will determine our eternal existence, heaven or hell. The Bible says that, as I read out before, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Put your trust in Jesus. Let him save you. He wants to save you. He He really does. He loves you. You come to Christ today if you don't know him. Don't walk out that door without being saved, because don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. You get right with God. You can get right with God. There's nothing that you have done in your life that you can't be forgiven for. That's another lie of the enemy too, by the way. I've said that to my brother. There's nothing that you have done that you can't be forgiven for. The devil's a liar. Stamp on him. Don't let him dictate your life. Don't let him rule your life. Don't let him dictate terms to you. Yeah. So come have a talk with me. Have a talk with Jamie Tarsa. Someone who knows, well, most of us do, don't we? Yeah. He loves you. So, be encouraged, church. Be inspired. Be motivated. And that's all about his love. That's all about his love for us. Amen? Thank you very much for putting up with me. Bless you all.